Modus Critica is intended for mature audiences only. Listener discretion is advised. Last time on Modus Critica, our unlikely heroes met with Lady Tiandra, the Queen of Summer, and Sir Randrick Vestibule of the Knights of Green. Having been given some free time, the party spent the day exploring around Senelis. Torque met a fellow monk of the shadows named Ganji Rattletocket, while Gord and Nevlin met Aldous the Magnificent, an amazing wizard said to have traveled to the Nines and back again. After Dario and Cornelius had an interesting meeting at the Bloated Ox Tavern, our heroes reconvened at the guesthouse, and Randrick brought them into the Court of Stars for further words with Queen Tiandra. With dried tears in her eyes, the Queen stated that she needed allies outside of the Court of Stars to help her obtain the Stones of Power, lest they end up in less than desirable hands.
Welcome to Modus Critica, a 5th edition actual play D&D podcast. This is the 6th episode, and we are 6 30-something West Coastian nerds looking to role play, roll dice, and roll heads. Those 6 people are...
Hi, I'm Kyle, and I'll be playing Dario Sidolfo.
Hey, this is Sid. I'll be playing Gord Godhand.
My name is Eric, and I'm playing Cornelius, and I'm going to say a few more words than the last guys.
Hey, this is Zach. I'm playing Nevlin Thrice Great, and in an effort to dethrone Cornelius, I'm saying several more words than he did.
Damn.
I'm Caitlin, and I don't give a shit how many words I say, because I'm a 30-something West Coastian nerd, and I play Torque Tortellini, who is a turtle monk, and I'm pretty positive I just said the most words.
Well, I am Tyrone. I'll be your dungeon master, and I'll just leave it at that.
All right.
Okay, so you guys are standing in the Court of Stars with Tiandra, the Queen of Summer, and also Vestibule, the Knight of the Green, Sir Randrick Vestibule. A small robed figure has just appeared through the back doors of the Court of Stars and came in saying, "Where do we start?" With that, Tiandra smiles and looks down at Spud, who you all know little about. But he smiles. He doesn't have a mouth, so... he sort of...
His aura?
Yeah, he's just giving us
some... The tip of his
shroom aura?
Yeah, the tip of the mushroom curves
yeah,
up.
Yeah, the mushroom head. Curves up into a smile. Yeah. His neck smiles? His neck smiles. I think that's what we'll say. His neck smiles. Anyway...
That's very tragic.
Tiandra looks down at Spud and smiles, and he comes in close to her. She puts her arm around his back, and she says,
"Damon has been with me since we found him in the surrounding forest. We know not the circumstances of his being there, but we've no choice but to take him in. He is well-versed in the dialect of these parts, a tremendous guide, and well-trained by the finest scouts and warriors. Above all else, he has a warm heart and will aid you well in your journey. Just let it be known that he is very important to me, so do be careful as you can. I have sent word to my scouting parties and should hear back within the next days ahead. We should know at that time a general location of at least one of the Aquaradium stones, if not all of them. Please feel free to enjoy Senelis until then. I will have Vestibule summon you from the guesthouse as soon as we have word. And thank you again for your support in these dark times."
And with that, she begins to nod. She walks away. She leaves. Vestibule nods to you. And he looks at you and he's like,
"Oh, I'll come for you and I've got word. And I will let you know. Just rest easy in your guesthouse and feel free to explore the city as you will. Is there any questions?"
"Yeah, do you know about how long this is going to take?"
"About one side quest, give or take."
"How convenient."
"God damn it, one whole side quest.
I open my robe as if I were to sell watches or cheese and ask, can you guys fix me, please?
Oh, jeez.
Tired of looking like a wrinkled, so dry scrotum.
Did you just splash them?
I'm covered in fur.
He yells off to Tiandra, and Tiandra looks back, and she's like, oh, my dear, by the gods, I've forgotten. And she runs up, like, very, very like the Jim Jeffries dad run to you, and she looks you up and down, and you see her hands move in this, like, beautiful motion, and you see this green glyph appear in her hands, and then as she spreads it apart, you see, like, sparkling magic just kind of rest onto your body, and your bones start to disappear as your fur and your skin just, like, starts to rise out of your chest and your body size returns to...
She took away
his bones? No! Your bones...
What happened to my bones?
Because your bones... Your bones. You flop onto the ground
in
a pile of skin.
Now you're just muscle, flesh, and cartilage. This is so much better. She helped much.
Can she's somebody like, please drape me over one of the asses?
I've accidentally cast greater deboning. My apologies. That's one I learned in the kitchens back in the day.
I need my bones back.
Your bones are less visible as your skin and your muscle tone starts to build up again and your body returns to normal as she cures the curse that was upon your body.
Right.
I thump my foot on the ground like copyright infringement.
Good one.
Thank you.
Yeah, she looks at you and she's like,
I apologies. The situation has left me terribly stressed and I've forgotten, but glad to help.
And she turns around and she's like,
I must be going.
And she goes back towards the back doors and vestibule looks at you up and down and he's like,
you look a lot healthier now. I'm glad to see that you're not all skin and bones.
Yeah, I feel good again.
It's great. So, yes, please,
see you later, bye!
Yes.
This is getting real uncomfortable. Let's just walk away.
I put my cloak back on. Turn around and walk away.
Yeah. So, Spud, do you like being called Spud or Damon?
Abed.
Or idiot.
Abed, whatever. Abed, I'm not really partial, you know? It doesn't matter. She calls me Damon, but most of my friends call me Spud.
Well, all right, stupid idiot. Stupid idiot, it is.
Hey, Torque.
Why are you so mean to me? I didn't do anything wrong.
Oh,
where is all this hostility?
I didn't really think anybody would ask that question. Oh, man, there's something shiny over there. See you later, guys. I gotta go check it out. And Torque just waddles away, really embarrassed.
And Spud just looks at the ground, and he looks sad.
Well, Damon, it's gonna be all right. I hope you can fend for yourself a little bit, but otherwise,
that's all.
But
I
otherwise,
going on in my head
I
right now.
I'll keep an eye on you,
Damon. It is.
So, you guys are still full rested, I believe. So you basically have, like, a couple days till she hears back from the scouts, because they have to go all the way south and east and north and west. And
the four corners of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I talked to that old lady, and
she
seemed very distraught, and I think there's some money in it, because I talked about that as well, and there's something good to be had out of this. I don't know if you guys are...
I'm sorry, Dario, what are you talking about?
Here's a little bit of subtext for you. I talked to a lady out at... he was at the Bloated Ox Tavern. It's just down the way.
Hang on, when was this?
Actually, Torque, that was actually a little while ago there, Torque. You actually walked in behind that place.
Oh.
And I went there with Cornelius, and we had a big discussion about cheese and stuff, but...
I was supposed to come and get everyone,
don't worry,
but I didn't.
Cornelius, you've only just become full again, and just take a little while, but chime in.
Yeah, Cornelius, it's all your fault.
Back to what I was saying originally, though. Torque, there's an old lady, and she has a friend, and he drank from some water, along with a couple other creatures from the forest, and they have run amok. I think they've become the slime that we saw.
Oh, like the goopy stuff?
Yeah, the goopy stuff.
It was slime water they drank?
The slime water that they drank, yes.
Why would they ever want to drink slime water?
They must have been thirsty.
This could be something, you know, Dario. This could be something we want to investigate. It could point us in the right direction in the future here.
I think there's a lot to be gleaned.
What if all the, okay, so if they're drinking swamp water or slime water, then what happens if the slime gets to this community?
But I think that's part of why we should investigate.
I don't know, this sounds a lot like environmental terrorism.
Right? And if this motivates you there, Tork, maybe Spud can, because he's a fungi, maybe he can...
We can make him drink it.
No.
I mean, would force him to drink it. But is that something you can do, Spud? I only just met you, but I thought maybe there's a lot of magical creatures. Perhaps you can... I just went like Quebec French there for 2 seconds.
No, I mean, I don't really know much about this ooze, this stuff you're talking about. You did say ooze, right?
It's like a slime.
Nobody said
slime,
ooze.
Slime, yeah. Sorry. I mean, moving forward, I don't know much about any of this black stuff. It doesn't seem to have really affected the forest thus far that I've seen. I mean, in doing my rounds and, you know, finding out more about where, you know, all the baddies are and kicking heads at and stuff, I haven't really come across anything of the sorts, but I've definitely heard the Queen talking about it. So, I mean, we could definitely go figure it out. I mean, whereabouts was this,
That's the thing. Spud, do you know about this Fathagin maze that is to the southwest?
Oh, yeah, man. That place is pretty crazy. I know all about it.
That's great. This is an excellent opportunity to go and gather some information. If you can help us get there, we can put to rights this very tragic incident that has happened for dear Thrall Fagin.
Oh, you mean Thrall? Thrall Fagin?
Thrall Fagin.
Fargan.
Fargan. Yes, sorry, it's hard with my accent.
Yeah, it's okay. She's, I know her. I've seen her. I know her a little bit. We could go over towards that area of the forest, but, I mean, it'd be sweet. Maybe we'll even run into my homie Jesus over there.
You have a homie named Jesus?
Yeah, I found him, but, you know, not that long ago.
But, I mean, sure. What does he have to offer?
I mean, it's just a pretty chill dude. You know,
I like chill dudes. You guys like chill dudes?
He's quite a sorcerer.
Nevelin, this is great. You get a, maybe he can help in your investigation. You know more about
maybe you guys
things.
Can battle.
Yeah, perhaps. I don't know. Sorcerers are sort of unrefined. You know what I mean? But maybe we can talk to this Jesus and see what he's got to say along the way.
Gonna find Jesus.
You got it, Cornelius.
Okay. All right. So you guys need to head southeast into the forest. You can head back to the lift with Spud. Spud will show you the way. And when you get to the lift, there are the same Eladrin elves standing at guard in the tall trees. And if you guys don't need anything else from Senelise, you can let them know and they'll pull the ropes and you guys can send down to the forest floor.
Yeah, Cornelius is good to go.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm. I grow.
Okay. Great, yeah.
I mean, I probably could use some things, but I'm just gonna fucking raw dog it and see what happens.
Is it a crossbow?
This is the person's husband, this Darthan?
It's her partner. She doesn't specify.
I'll do anything for somebody else's partner.
Alright, so when you guys get to the forest floor, you see a lot of the same beautiful flora and fauna, birds chirping all around. I guess this is, you know, early morning. There's the mist that you clear once you get to the forest floor, and Spud kind of like does a look around and he's like, this way. And he points off into a direction to the southwest. And you guys leave the entrance to Senelise behind as you hear the wooden platform start to recede and rise back up into the seeming clouds.
Before we leave, I just hold on a second. I'm just going to jump behind a bush real quick for about 30 seconds.
For pellet poop?
Okay.
And yeah.
During that time, Cord's going to ask Spud, hey, do we have to keep track of that silvery stuff again when we try and find Senelise?
I know where it is, so you shouldn't have too many problems anymore.
I reappear.
We'll trust you on that.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, don't fuck with me too hard, right? No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Everybody looks at Tork.
I don't know what you mean by that, pal. I mean, let's just get going, okay?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm here to do. I'm gonna be your guide here.
Yeah, well, maybe you should do it.
Yeah, he's doing it, that talk.
Yeah.
Come on, buddy.
Let's give him a chance.
Spud, do you need anything, like some armor or some gear? I don't have that, but I'm just saying.
I got my handy knives right here. You know, this is, and he's like, and he pulls out these two fucking sweet-looking daggers. And he looks like...
Wait, what do his hands look like again?
They're like little mushrooms, basically. Like, they're just little nubbins.
Like, he has mushrooms growing out of
He's a mushroom. Yeah, he's a
mushroom. Think about those, like, long mushrooms as his hands, as each finger.
Yeah.
You know?
So he's like an amalgamation of different fungi. Like, he's a big mushroom, and then he's got different kinds of mushrooms growing out of him as appendages.
He's got, like, a portobello head. He's got, like, chanterelle
arms.
Yeah,
of course.
Right? And I'm like...
He's got to have oysters somewhere, because I really like oyster
his
mushrooms.
His penis.
His penis is like oyster mushrooms.
I don't want to see...
It just hangs forward.
He's wearing a loincloth.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he is. He is clothed. He is clothed. But yeah, he's just a fungal man.
To see a mushroom.
You know what? We'll see.
I mean, I guess most dicks are kind of mushrooms.
Do you wear pants?
I wear shorts. You can see right in front of you, Gordon. I'm wearing shorts. They're more like capris, I guess, but yeah.
All right, just make a chair.
There we go.
Yeah, wearing a tunic, obviously. I really couldn't remember. Fuck. I just imagined, like, the Incredible Hulk for some reason. I was like, yeah, that's what I look like. He's got, like, a really long short.
Frayed.
Back to the drawing
at the edge. Anyway. Cutaways.
Okay, let's get back to it. So you guys walk for probably, like, 15 minutes, just kind of quietly conversing. And Spud, you know, talks about how he found some big baddie, kicked his ass over in this spot here and pinned him against this tree. And he begged for his life or whatever, you know, just trying to talk some tough smack, you know. And you get close to a spot where you kind of see this, like, clearing up ahead in the forest. And you can see it from, like, you know, 100... 200 feet away, it does open to something, so there's a lot more light there. And as you guys approach, you come to a pond. You see this pond off in the distance, and Spud looks at you all, and he's like, this has got to be the place. And
what do you mean, gotta be?
I mean, this is the only pond around near the base of Farthagud.
Okay, I was a little worried for a little bit there, Spud. You know, because you were regaling us with many stories, and I was still hopeful that you were so good at tracking and getting us to this maze that it's called a maze. I hope that we're not lost. Right, Spud?
I mean, we're totally not lost. I know where we are and how to get back. The maze of Farthagud is just beyond these walls, and this is the closest pod to the area that you described that Thrail would have told you about.
Okay.
Well, perfect. I mean, Spud, I'd be really happy to walk close to the edge of the pond with you so that we can both see if this is the correct pond or not. Would you like to join me in walking really close to the edge of the pond?
It's David to you.
And also, Tark, that's a very thinly veiled threat that anyone can see.
I don't know what you're talking about, Dario.
If you guys are done there, I'm gonna go take a look at this pond.
I'll join you.
As you guys approach the pond, it is seemingly filled with the corrupted black ooze. You see it kind of not shimmering, but you notice it's in the water. It's moving around in the water. It's pulsating like it was when you saw it before. But the ooze has started to make its way out of the pond. So the floor around the pond seems to be withering away, but it stops near the maze where a direct line in the ground can be seen, as if it's like stopping there because of magical means. It's just a straight line, but the pool is seemingly corrupted. Yeah, just like that.
Can I cast Divine Sense around the pool and see if I feel anything?
Yeah, go ahead.
That's 60 feet around me, fiends, celestials, undead.
There are no fiends. You sense no fiends, celestial, demons.
All right. Well, it's not anything... This ooze isn't anything that's living, it seems like.
As you do approach, though, again, Nevlin, you see that this corruption that's turning the water that murky color of soot, you can see it coming towards you underwater. Does that make sense?
Ah, Christ, guys, there's something moving in there. And Nevlin backs away from the pond, but he's going to head up in the direction of where the ooze seems to be getting blocked by something.
Yeah, okay. Likewise.
Yeah.
But he's kind of keeping an eye on the ooze and, like, hot-stepping around the pond. If it continues to follow him, he'll probably freak out a little more.
And as Spud walks up to the pond, you see his eyes widen as he takes to look upon the corruption for the first time. He sees the flora starting to wilt, and he looks genuinely concerned, and he looks over at you, Nevlin and Dario and Torque, and he looks back over to you, Gord, and he's like, what is this?
I wouldn't get close to it there, Spud. It's seems to be this dark ooze.
It's ever since the calamity that we are all witness to, we have found this out in the wilds of the Feywild. It is some kind of dark corruption from perhaps the Shadowfell. Yeah, that's what I surmise, at least.
And you said that Thrale's partner was...
Yes, and the creatures with them. And then
They were drinking this water?
They drank it, yes.
Oh, no. That does not bode well. That does not bode well.
Oh,
he starts to back away from the pond.
I'm like, okay.
You know, we met something earlier that had either been affected by it, and it didn't really make a lot of common sense. I recommend that we use caution when we try and find this Darthen. Jesus Christ.
Darthen.
When we find this Darthen.
Yes, Gord is right. We must use extreme caution. All of the animals that I've seen in our travels so far have been acting differently, corrupted or not.
With that, everyone roll me a perception check.
Natural one.
Oh, no.
Gord rolled an 11.
Okay.
Dario has rolled an 18 altogether.
Nevlin rolled a 9.
So, Cornelius, you're like, we should err on the side of extreme caution. And you just are not paying attention.
Ooh, squirrel.
Everyone else, you hear a small branch snap on your flank as a bunch of creatures rush in to flank you guys. Everyone needs to roll initiative.
I'm not using this fucking
d20. I was like, Cornelius, you should try and find some tracks. Oh my god!
Gord got a 10.
Dario got a 6.
Cornelius rolled a 9.
Nevlin rolled a 19.
Torque rolled a 6 also.
Oh, who's got the higher dex?
Oh, you definitely have the higher dex. I got 0. That was Dario, by the way.
Yeah, my 1 beats your 0.
For sure.
Okay. All right, so Torque will be before Dario. All right, so out of the perimeter of the forest, directly actually through some of the corruption on the ground, you see two corrupted deers running towards you. Their eyes are... black as a deer's eyes are normal, but you can also see some, like, bloodshot in their eyes as well. From the east side of the forest, along near the maze wall, a large brown bear runs in from the side, also seemingly corrupted. From the west, coming towards you, Gord, are two small fey creatures with bloody hats that also seem to have some of the black ooze mixed in with it, running in towards you. And with that, it is going to be the top of the round. I actually need to roll initiative for Spud. Oh, and he rolled a nat 20.
Yeah, the DM rolled a natural 20.
I hate this character.
You want to see that shit?
Yeah.
Yes. Show us, DM, show us.
Well, okay, I'm going to have to, like, just pick it up and put it to the camera.
Well, that seems a little suspect.
I can't lift up my rig. You should see this.
I also rolled a 20. Just
I also rolled a 20. Look, I got it.
But he did roll a nat 20.
All right, then he goes first.
He does go first. Very first. So top of the round, it's going to be Spud first. He looks to be very scared, Spud. He talks a lot of smack. He talks a big game, but this mushroom creature definitely is not prepared for the sights that he now sees. But he looks over at you, Tork, above him, and...
Of course he does.
He grits his what would be teeth, and you kind of see his face kind of cinches in, and he gets this, like, look of focus on his face as he starts to immediately run towards one of the deer.
Oh, no!
He runs up towards the deer, and then, actually, you know what? He's going to dash, and he's going to get right in front of the deer. And that's going to be his turn. So next in the order, it's going to be Nevlin. You're up.
Nevlin backs away from these corrupted creatures, sort of into the center of all of us, and he fumbles around for his pipe and lights it up and casts Mage Armor on himself again.
Nice. Okay, so is that going to be your turn then?
That's it.
Next in the order is going to be the brown bear. It looks rageful as it runs in, and it is going to head straight towards you, Dario.
Oh, no.
He's going to multi-attack, first with a bite.
Okay.
That's probably not going to hit. That's a 9.
Yeah, that's a miss.
And then second, he will hit you with his claws. That's going to be a 17 plus 5 for 23 to hit.
That's definitely a hit.
Okay, so you're going to take 2d6 plus 4 damage. And that's going to be 12 damage to you.
All right, he just did half my hit points. All right, let's go.
Next in the order is going to be the deer that Spud just ran up to, and it's going to try to bite our little mushroom friend.
Oh god, I'm actually so nervous.
And it rolled a 4 plus 2 to hit is 6 for a miss. Then it's going to be Gord's turn.
Gord heads up to block these mad corrupted caps from reaching anybody, just getting in their way, and he'll ready an action to attack if they come close.
Okay, sounds good. That's your turn?
That's my turn.
Beautiful. Then we're going to be up to Cornelius.
All right. Cornelius did think about what he was going to do, so he's going to just use burning hands on the deer that is directly in front of him.
There you go.
Okay.
Each creature in a 15-foot cone must make a dexterity saving throw. Creature takes 3d6 on failed and half on a success.
Yep, he has to roll a dexterity saving throw. All right. What's your spell save DC?
14.
Yeah, no, he rolled a 2, so you're going to go ahead and give him full damage for that.
That's going to be 3d6 damage, and we're looking at 9.
9 damage?
Yeah.
Okay.
Shit.
This deer falls to the ground, and it's dead.
Oh!
You burn it with the flames coming out of your hand. It takes the full brunt of it. As it wasn't prepared, it was running directly towards you. Its face just chars, and you see its body just light on fire. It kind of runs for a few more steps, and then it drops to the ground as it shakes and eventually stops.
A single tear rolls down my furry cheek.
Aww.
I mean, I didn't want to have to kill it, but...
Is that going to be your turn then, Cornelius?
No! It's not.
Okay.
I'm actually going to move towards the big bear-looking thing. No, I'm not. I'm going to stay right here. I'm good. That's my turn.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Then we're going to go on to Tork.
Okay, so Tork doesn't want to fight no deer. He wants to fight the big bear. Okay, so Tork is going to kind of run past the bear, the big brown bear, and he's going to run... straight past. He's gonna like give a really cocky side glance to Spud Damon, and he's gonna stop beside him. They're almost kind of like back to back, but off to the side. So Spud is kind of fighting the deer, and Tork is going to attack the bear from behind.
Okay.
Hopefully.
Roll the hit at advantage as you are flanking with Dario.
Nice. Tork rolled a nat 20.
Dope. Okay, so that's going to be max damage plus roll damage. So you want to go ahead and roll that up.
Okay, and he's using his short sword. So 10, 16 is max damage. And then I rolled max damage again.
Dope. Okay, so...
So is that really... 32?
32 damage.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. That's quite the hit, Tork.
Jesus Holy Christ! Shit. Okay, oh, and then obviously he looks over to fucking Spud Boy. And he, like, whispers in his ear, and he's like, this is how it's done.
Spud's face tightens somehow even more as he focuses harder on the task at hand.
He grits his little fungi teeth.
Yeah, it just looks weird now. His eyes are, like, where his nose should be, and is like, his chin is, like, up into his eyes, and he's just, like, he looks like a dog almost.
How hurt is the bear from that?
Pretty fucking hurt. Yeah, as you slash into it with your short sword, you slice him right across its back, and the bear throws up its arms and just lets out this loud scream.
It puked his arms?
It's paws, its arms, yeah, its legs.
Throws up its arms.
It's cute little teddy paws.
Is that going to be your turn, Torque?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. All right, then moving on, it will be the red cap. So the first red cap runs in directly towards you, Gord.
Yeah, as he does, I'll roll up a quarterstaff slap.
Yep.
Ooh, that is a 25 to hit.
That's totally a hit.
All right. 7 damage.
7 damage. Yeah, you smack this thing right in the fucking neck, as is Gord's tradition. And its frame just kind of changes. He slumps back a bit, and you notice that he took that hit hard. But he grits his teeth, and he looks at you with some weird corrupted ooze coming out between his teeth.
You should brush more often.
And he draws his sickle, and he's going to take a slash at you with his sickle. That's going to be 17 plus 6 to hit for 23.
Oh, yeah.
All right, you're going to take 2d4 plus 4 slashing damage. So 4 plus 4, so 8 slashing damage in total.
Okay.
And then it is now going to be the second red cap's turn. It's going to run in again towards you, Gord, and doesn't quite make it for a flank. But because it's running towards you, it's going to kick you with its iron boots. Can you roll me a dexterity saving throw, please?
16.
Yeah, okay, you pass. So he comes up to you, and as you take the first sickle hit from the first red cap, you see it coming in your peripheral, and you manage to, like, turn your body, and as he jumps towards you, you just kind of move his boots out of the way, and he lands on the ground right beside you, prone.
Excellent.
And with that, it is Dario's turn.
All right, so I grab my medallion of Mercule, and I go... And like a shimmering kind of blackness goes over me and then tightens around me, and that's a Shield of Faith. That's a bonus action. And then as my full action, I'll start bobbing and weaving back and forth and sort of take the dodge action. So I'll be like yelling at this bear in front of me and be like, try and hit me now that I have the power of Mogul with me. And that's what I do.
Okay. All right, it's going to be top of the round. It's going to be Spud again. So Spud looks back at you, Torque, and as I said, has skinched his face in even further, if it was even possible. And he lets out a furious, childish roar as he draws his second short sword and begins to... But
what is the roar sound like, though? Sorry?
That... And he,
that's what I was imagining, yes.
Yeah, he begins to slash at this deer in front of him with both of his short swords. The first one going to be a 16 plus 6 for a 22, which is a hit.
Fuck yeah!
And the second one is going to be a 7 plus 6, which is 13, which is also a hit. So he's going to do 1d6 plus 4 damage twice, so 2d6 plus 8. And he's going to do 5 plus 3, 8 plus 8, 16 damage. So as he looks at you, Torque, and lets out his ferocious roar, he comes in with both of his short swords, and he comes directly from the sides across the thing's head and just completely beheads the deer. The head flies off in the air and then thuds on the ground beside it, and the deer's body remains standing as the blood just shoots and squirts out of the top of its neck.
Oh, God.
And then with that, he turns back to you, and he smiles, and he's like, now that's how it's done. And then he kicks the deer's corpse, and it falls over to the ground. And with that, he's going to actually disengage from the bear and move down around the other side of the bear to be directly beside you, Torque. And with that, it's going to be Nevlin's turn.
Oh, it's so cute. It's the most adorable kill I've ever heard.
So Nevlin's going to sort of head to the south, away from the majority of the enemies. And with a flourish of his new fancy robes, he lets out 3 magic missiles, targeted 1 at each of the remaining enemies.
Okay, roll up that damage.
So I'll start, I suppose, with the red cap that's closest to me. I guess they're both engaged with Gord right now. That's 5 damage to the first one. Second red cap gets hit for 3 damage, and the big old bear gets hit for 4 damage.
All right. Yeah, so you you move your way back, and you start moving your hands around, and out of your cloak comes these 3 magic missiles that shoot out in random directions, meeting their targets and exploding on impact, dealing some decent damage to the rest of the creatures. Is that going to be your turn?
Yep.
All right. Then it's going to be the brown bear. It's still addressing the pain in its back, and it's not really focusing too much on you, Dario.
Okay.
It turns around to you, Torque, to where the pain came from, and it is going to multi-attack. First with...
Great.
It's going to reach out to bite you.
Uh-huh.
That's a 19 plus 5 for 24 to hit.
No, that doesn't hit. Yeah, it's super hit. Let's see.
That's going to be... Holy fuck. That's going to be 12 damage.
Oh, that's fine. It's fine. It's only like 75% of my HP. Whatever.
All right. His next attack is going to be with his claws. And he rolled a 14 plus 5, so 19 to hit.
Tyrone. That hits.
Okay. You're gonna take 2d6 plus 4 slashing damage.
Ah, I'm dead. I'm dead.
7 plus 4.
I died in front of Shroom Boy.
11 damage.
This is humiliating. I'm dead.
Okay.
I'm fucking prone.
So,
I'm unconscious.
Yeah, he slashes out to Torque, and in the corner of everyone's peripherals, you all see Torque just drop to the ground unconscious.
Torque, no!
As he gets bitten and slashed by this bear.
Okay, do not let Shroom Boy save me. Whatever happens, don't let it be him. No, Torque, as he goes down, he's like, don't let the Shroom Boy help me, guys. Ah! He just fucking passes out.
Hey, Shroom Boy, it's all up to you. You gotta help her.
Yeah. You gotta have some magic healing.
You can do it, David.
Don't worry, guys.
You got mushroom powers, right? Pretty sure.
Don't worry, I could do this. And
zip.
With that, it's gonna be Gord. Gord Godhand.
Yeah. So Gord sees the 2 mad caps, and he attacks the one that's on the ground because it's prone.
All right.
There you go. Get him.
And that is another 25 to hit.
That's gonna smoke him.
Yeah. 4, 6 damage.
Yeah, you smoke this thing with your quarterstaff right in the dome.
I'll say, stay down.
Nice. Yeah, you tell him.
is that gonna be your turn?
That felt good. Yeah. Yeah, that's Gord's turn.
All right, then it's gonna be Cornelius.
All right, so Cornelius is gonna run up to Torque and cast Cure Wounds, giving you 6 hit points. And aww. Then, because I am now technically in the threat range of the animal, I don't know, am I?
Yeah.
I'm going to use Rabbit Hop and jump 10 feet away and not provoke.
Opportunity attack?
Yeah, and that is my turn.
Does it sound like Mario 3 where it's like...
It's well exactly how it sounds.
I'm gonna cut that out, and that's the new jump sound effect for like our entire campaign.
You know how hard it is to make a jump sound effect? It's fucked.
Yeah, well, Kyle just did it.
No,
we don't have to worry about
I
it
fucking
anymore.
Did it. I've done it like 3 times already, and it's fucking hard because you don't think about what sound does a human make when they actually jump off the ground.
Nothing.
It just that's
nothing.
It. Right?
I haven't jumped off the ground in 27 years.
Okay. Are we done?
Yeah.
Okay. It is now the second Redcap's turn. Gord, on your north side, it's going to swing at you with its sickle again. It's going to swing at you with its sickle again. It's going to be a...
Keep walking.
That's going to be a 16 to hit?
Yep.
Yes. Okay, 2d4 plus 4 slashing damage. 3 plus 4 for 7 damage.
Okay.
Then it's going to be Torque. You are prone on the ground.
Okay. Well, Torque is, I don't know, he's going to, like, take a huge inhale of air and then be like, and then he'll, like, look up and he'll see Shroom Boy and then he'll look around and be like, you didn't help me, did you? Ho-ho-ho. I mean, because I was fine. I didn't even need help anyway. And then he uses half his movement to stand up. He looks embarrassed, though. He's trying to be extra tough, but he's very, very embarrassed. And so because of this, he overcompensates, and he just goes straight for the bear again in front of him and tries to stab it straight in his little teddy tummy.
Okay, roll the hit.
So glad I got to say teddy tummy today. Oh, God, please, 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 D20. Oh, 16?
That's a hit.
Yeah! Fuck yeah. Okay, so using his short sword, oh, that's very little damage. That'll be 5 damage.
Okay. Yeah, you make good.
Torque is going to try and make another wound with his unarmed strike using his turtle claws.
Okay, roll the hit on that.
That's going to be a 19.
Totally a hit.
Yeah, it is. So the damage from his turtle claws will be maximum damage of 8.
Dope. Yeah, after you stab into this thing, it screams and then you slash into its throat.
Yeah, how does a bear scream?
Well, it lets out a roar.
Hey, boo-boo, it hurts!
copyright infringement, copyright. Oops.
Oh, right.
Yeah, you slash out at its throat, and mid-roar scream, whatever you want to call it, it stops it as it's yelling, so it's cut off. You have, like, fucking severed its voice box, and it sounds raspier now.
Cute. Thank you.
You're welcome. moving along, if that's the end of your turn?
Yes, please.
Okay, next up is Dario.
All right, well, then I take out my mace, and I go, all right, I'll end this. And I'll go for...
Is it bear mace?
It's... it's a bear mace now. And I go for it. And it's a 13 plus... Oh, man. It's plus 4 for 17.
Well, you pepper him hard.
Oh,
yeah!
Nice. Okay. And then they'll roll up.
He's going to need so much milk.
I do 5 damage. I just bonk him. I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah, that is exactly what you do. He's clearly pissed. You can see that his body is starting to move around, trying to see where that came from. And with that, that's your turn?
That's my turn, yeah.
It's going to be the Red Cap's turn, the first one. So he's going to stand up from prone now, Gord, after you've bonked him on the head.
Stay down.
And I screwed up and didn't realize that these guys have a 3-attack multi-attack. So I'm now going to start with that, as it is the way. It is the way of the game. The first attack is going to be a 14 to hit.
That hits.
Okay, second attack is going to be a 10 to hit.
Nope.
It's a miss. And the third attack is going to be a miss as well. You rolled a 2. So you'll just take the 2d4 plus 4 slashing damage on that. It's going to be 7 plus 4 for 11 more slashing damage.
I'll shout out a little help over here, guys.
Okay.
Like, kind of busy fighting a really big bear.
I'll help you, Gord, as soon as I can.
And as you yell that, Gord, it's going to be top of the round. Spud looks over to you and then looks back to the bear. And he's in pretty deep, so he's going to slash out at the bear with both of his short swords. The first one's going to miss, and the second one is going to hit. 9 plus 6 for 15 is going to be a hit. And the bear will take 1d6 plus 4 damage, or 6 damage. And this bear is starting to look worse for wear. You guys are coming at it from all sides, and it's starting to lose energy quickly. With that, it's going to be Nevlin's turn.
Nevlin's going to cast Magic Missile again. He's going to cast it as a second level spell this time. So he gets four bolts instead of three. He's going to aim two each respectively at the red caps.
Okay, roll up your damage.
First red cap takes 7 damage.
Okay.
Second one gets max, that's 10 damage total.
Nice.
I look back at him and give a nod of approval.
Yeah, Nevlin, you move methodically and kind of lower your stance, and your arm moves in a circular motion, and then you fucking throw your arms forward, and four more of these beautiful magic missiles fly out and strike their targets, dealing massive damage. Is that the end of your turn?
That's about all I can do yet.
So the mad caps take these massive hits from the magic missiles, and then it is going to be your turn, Gord.
Gord, feeling like it's his last moment, is going to drop his shield, drop the quarterstaff, and pull out the glaive, and take a reckless attack at the red cap to the north of him.
Dope.
And probably miss wildly with a 12.
Yeah, that's a miss.
Yeah, he's lost a lot of blood. He's not quite seen straight, so takes that swing and goes, "What's she got?" And that's his turn.
Lightheaded Gord.
Yeah.
Okay. That's gonna be Cornelius' turn.
Okay, Cornelius is going to cast Entangle, and I will be casting it basically on Gord, so that unfortunately Gord, but also the red caps are hopefully entangled.
Okay.
Grasping weeds and vines sprout from the ground in a 20-foot range.
Mm-hmm.
For the duration, these plants turn the ground into an area of difficult terrain.
All right, well, I will roll for being restrained or not.
You and the two madcaps will roll strength saving throws. What's your spell save? Was it 14?
Yeah.
Gord got a 12, so he fails. So he is restrained.
Sorry, okay. Gord, but...
The first madcap rolled a 4, plus 4 is 8 for a failure. Second madcap rolled a 15, plus 4 for a 20 for a success.
And this spell will go for 6 rounds.
And what's the area?
It's 20-foot radius off of Gord's position.
Okay.
20-foot square, actually.
Okay. These weeds come out of the ground and start to wrap themselves around Gord and one of the red caps. The other one manages to, like, knock them out of the way, maybe with his favored weapon, the sickle. And Gord and the southern red cap are both entangled. Cornelius, is that going to be your turn then?
I'm going to start heading towards the red caps.
Okay. Sounds good. With that, it's going to be the second red cap. He is going to attack you with his sickle at disadvantage. Multi-attack, Gord. The first one is definitely a miss. Second one is 11 plus 6 for 17 to hit. Okay, third one is definitely a miss. So you're going to take 2d4 plus 4 damage, slashing, and that's 8 damage.
Yeah, so you see Gord slump a little bit, and the roots kind of are holding him up, and then you just see his whole body go, "Hurry up, let me at him." And he uses Relentless Endurance to stand back up to 1 HP.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, then that's going to be his turn. Then it's going to be Torque's turn.
Okay, well, Torque's just got to keep chipping away at this bear. So he's going to roll to attack with a short sword at advantage because I keep forgetting that the bear is flanked.
There you go.
And that's great because I rolled a 7, so I'm going to roll again.
Woo!
Oh, no. I didn't roll again. I didn't need to. Just go with the 7.
What does that mean?
That I may have rolled in that one.
The peaks and valleys of Caitlin's character.
I know. Nat 20, nat 1, whatever.
So a 7 total?
So it would have been, no, so it would be a 13.
That's totally a hit.
I keep forgetting my attack bonus is actually really high.
Caitlin, that's a hit.
So yeah, okay.
Nice.
Yeah, I knew it was a hit. Yeah, I knew.
I knew it.
So, Not a whole lot, but that's going to be 6 damage with Torque's short sword.
Yeah, so you slash into this thing, and its belly is more open now. You hit the same wound twice. His teddy tummy is starting to lose a lot of stuffing of the red variety.
Okay, great. Torque's going to try and swipe him with his claws again, too.
Okay, roll the hit.
At advantage, because he's flanking.
Yes, at advantage, because you're flanking him.
Well, the first one is a 22. We're going to go with 22. That's the higher one.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you hit it. So roll damage.
That'll be 6 damage, please.
All right. Yeah, one more solid slash across the chest of this bear, and it is looking so weak. It's starting to let out these moans. It's sad. And with these moans, you see it start to slump a little bit. You're looking a little bit like Gord, but he does not have relentless endurance. Is that going to be your turn, Torque?
Yes, thank you.
All right, then it's going to be Dario.
All right, so I'm like, you guys got this. I'll go and help Gord. And
oh god!
And so I disengage, and then I run back 15 feet, and that's like as far as I can go. And I go and attack this madcap. So then I already have my mace out, and I'm running in with my coffin lid shield, and I'm like, "Have at you, you disgusting red cap!" And I throw down a nat 1.
Oh, no. Oh. Roll me that sweet D6.
So I
the D sucks.
The D sucks. I roll a 6. So I must have hit like an entangled vine, and then I'm like, ugh! My mace goes flying.
Yeah, your mace flies to like the other side of the fucking entanglement.
Oh no! And that's it.
That's gonna be your turn, okay? Then it's gonna be the first red cap's turn. He's actually going to roll to try and become... He's going to use his action to roll a strength check to see if he can become unentangled.
DC 14.
He rolled a 19.
Wow, he's in there. Just
plus,
Gord.
Plus 4 strength. So yeah, he's no
is
longer...
Is Gord the only one entangled?
Yeah.
Yes, now he is the only one
entangled. Literally the only thing holding me up.
Yeah, and with that, the red cap is going to take a step back. He's going to disengage from Gord and take a couple steps back, and that's going to be his turn. And then it's going to be top of the round to Spud again, and Spud's going to look over at you, Torque, and he's going to be like, Maybe we
could just put this shit aside for now, you know what I'm saying?
And,
yeah, I mean, if you really need to, then if that's what you want, okay.
And he's going to move down and around the bear to the back side of his threat range to be flanking the bear. And he's going to roll
his
little bear bum. And he's going to roll at advantage to attack twice with his short swords.
Yeah, get him, Shroom Boy.
The first one's
says Caitlin, not Torque.
17 plus 6. We're at 23. Just a hit. Second one is going to be... Oh, that's... sucks. 13 plus 6 is 17 is also going to hit.
Fuck yeah.
So with that, he's going to roll 1d6 plus 4 twice, and he rolled 8 damage plus 8 is 16 damage.
He's going to kill this fucking bear, isn't he?
And
no!
You see him?
No,
you see
no,
him
no,
come
no.
in with both of his short swords into both sides of the bear. And he twists his blades and pulls the blades out, and just a spray of blood shoots all over him, out to the side and everywhere, as this bear just goes and just hits the ground. And as it lay there unconscious, the bear slowly starts to transform back into the shape of a dwarven man.
Oh no!
Naked as well. Well endowed.
How big is it? Oh.
I see how I did that. I knew what you were going to ask, so I just said it beforehand. But there still remains the threat of the red caps. It is going to be Nevlin's turn next.
Might I say, DM, stop prompting us for dick jokes, please. Come on, low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, like his balls.
Oh, I knew it. Yeah, like his balls.
Stop prompting us, Kyle.
I'm sorry.
It is Nevlin's turn. So Nevlin's seen this red cap now back out of the entanglement of vines, and he's looking pretty concerned about Gord all slumped over. When he sees the red cat back its way out of the vines, he just starts walking towards this red cat, and he's muttering things under his breath, and he's reaching into his robes. And when he gets within about 5 feet of it, he pulls his arm out of his robe, and his whole hand is glowing with this black energy, and it's taken on the shape of a very dark, shadowy blade, and he's just gonna try to stick it right into this thing. He has just cast Shadow Blade for the first time.
Hell yeah.
Woo! Nice.
So it's gonna be a melee attack with proficiency using my dexterity bonus.
Okay.
So that's plus 6 total to my attack, and I rolled a 19. That's a 25 to hit.
Shit, yeah, that's totally a hit.
And it's gonna do 2d8 psychic damage.
Nice.
Ooh, that's a 6 and a 4. 10 damage total.
Ooh, that's enough. How do you do it?
Yeah, like I say, he just kind of walks up. You see him pull his arm out of his sleeve, and he, like, almost kind of nonchalantly, prison style, just sticks it into this thing's, like, solar plexus, and it falls down at his feet, and he turns his gaze to the next one.
Oh, shit.
That's the end of my turn. That spell is concentration up to a minute, so Nevlin's now concentrating on it, and his hand is a big, big shadow knife.
That's badass. All right, well, Gord, it's going to be your turn.
All right, restrained. Gord will use a reckless attack on the red cap.
So is that at advantage with reckless?
It'd be at advantage, but it would
be at disadvantage, so
bunk out
cancel.
The disadvantage, so.
Regular. Okay, go for it, man. I have faith in you.
Nat 20.
Hell yeah!
Woo! Fuck yeah. That's
how we roll.
That's how we roll, guys. So that's 14 base damage.
Okay.
And then an additional 12, so 26 damage.
Yeah.
Rolling dice, rolling heads.
One HP standing there entangled. You managed to, like, free your arms to get your glaive freed up, and you slice at this thing with such a fucking fury that you just topple its head, and its head flies. Actually, Dario, you're right there. Roll me a dexterity saving throw.
Oh, great. This is my worst.
You're gonna puke.
I actually managed to roll an 18.
Okay, yeah, you're standing right behind this as it's happening, Dario, just more or less, and this head lops off as Gord screams and just rushes this glaive through its head, and the head just spins, and it flies at you like a bullet, and you just barely move your head out of the way as this thing hurls past you and lands 5 or 10 feet behind you on the ground. And you see the red cap's body twitching as it falls into the difficult terrain and slowly stops moving.
Oh, Gord! Oh.
And you guys...
Way to go, Gord!
You guys have cleared this battle.
Oh, we got a dwarf.
Yeah, there is now a dwarven man laying...
Oh, hey, you guys, there's a weird naked guy over here. He used to be the bear, but he's
just
naked.
Just give me a minute.
He's unconscious?
He is unconscious, yes.
I'm going to run over
Tort
to...
Tort kicks him.
Oh, I'd be like, no, go, go, go. I'm going to run
Wake
up.
Wake up, nigga guy.
I'm gonna go up and be like, let me just stabilize him. I pull out like a med kit or something. I perform a medical check on him.
Okay. You go for it?
Yeah.
Get him some clothes too, Dario.
It's terrible. I rolled a 2 plus 5. Apparently I haven't used a med kit in a while. And I just kind of wrap him up, like, really quickly. I'm not really thinking, and it's not really
Swaddle
effective.
Him like a baby?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just laying there unresponsive, and you try to wrap him up, but you do a pretty shit job at it, and it doesn't really help him at all.
I'm like, by the dark grace of Mercuo, you may be healed. I cast Cure Wounds on him.
Okay.
I will heal him by as much as, ten HP.
I end the entangle spell.
Ugh, I collapse to the ground.
Gord, you fall to the ground onto your knees as the vines rush out back into the ground and the terrain is cleared.
I run back to Gord. Gord, I'm going to heal you with Cure Wounds. And that's only going to be a 6.
All right, as you do that, you see kind of a dark burst underneath Gord's chest, and he'll lay on hands himself for 5. Actually, for 4, so.
All right, there we go. We bring you up to 10.
With the druid reverting back to its normal form, he's unconscious, but he is twitching, shaking. You can see, like, his veins are bulging. Even though he's unconscious, the savage look on his face, his eyes are bloodshot and black, and he still looks so corrupted. But realistically, all you guys need to do is bring him back to Senelis, as Thrail asked. So how do you guys want to go about that?
Well, I say the only good way to do it is just tie him up.
Should we like almost like spit roast carry him out of the forest or something?
I like that. That makes it easier.
Yes, we'll have to cut down a tree or find a stick or something.
I think we got quite a few quarterstaffs between
yes.
us.
Yes, who wants to use one of their quarterstaffs?
Yeah, we got a half staff now. And because we sure ain't using Oscar. Oscar doesn't want to take him. So.
Oh yeah, that's can... right. We have an ass.
No. But he doesn't want to. And I don't want him to.
Hold on. I cast Speak with Animals.
Yeah.
Oh my God, no!
And I'm going to talk to Oscar.
Oscar's in the stable at Senelis.
Oh, is he?
Oh, well, that's just horse shit.
Okay, one day I want you to do that, though, Eric. And I really want to know what Oscar's voice sounds like. Tyrone Hinton. I want there to be a conversation between you and Oscar.
I feel like he's gonna be a hard ass.
Oh, no.
Anyway.
I just can't stand her. I mean him.
No, he would never say that. Tyrone, if you make him say that, I'll quit.
Yeah, I know.
Before we go, Ty, did you say that there was something that looked like it was stopping the flow of this ichor along the ground?
Yeah, so it stops about 20 feet from the wall of the maze.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like a straight line, like a perfect straight line. Like, it can't go past that point.
Yeah. Nevlin's definitely going to investigate that.
Okay. You want to roll me a Arcana check?
Absolutely. That's a 15 plus... 6. That's a 21.
Yeah. With a 21, you recall some lore that you would have read in your time with the Circle of the Magi. And... you recall the maze of Farthigan being a very magical maze with magical properties embedded in its stone construction. It was created by Oran and Farthigan, who is the queen of the dryads, the protector of the tree of the mother. And it resides in the middle of that maze, and it is what gives life and magic to the Feywild.
This is a very special thing.
It seems like whatever the sicker is can't penetrate the magic of the maze there. There might be something to that. We should remember to let Tiandra know.
That is a good call. All right. Excellent, Nevlin. Good job. Gord, you look hurt. You did great on our backsides there, staving off the... And you, Spud, Torque, Cornelius, fantastic work together. It is... Really?
I saw you swinging that mace.
I mean, a bike in it does what he's got to do, you know? I just threw it out. Just it came naturally, you know?
Well, yeah, excellent work, Spud.
Yeah, Spud, you were good, but I have a feeling that you really had to work into it, you know? Torque, we come to expect great things from you, and you're fantastic at it. That your throat gouge, that's gross. It totally worked.
Are you gonna tie up the druid?
Oh, right, yeah, we gotta tie up the druid.
Somebody want to roll me a survival check?
I will.
See how well you tie this motherfucker up?
I can tie a really good knot.
Is there anything on these two bodies around me? The red caps?
No, the red caps have nothing on them. What was your survival check?
17.
Yeah, Cornelius is a master with the knots. He knows his way around rope and tying people up, evidently. and he ties them up flawlessly to the two quarterstaffs, or the half staff, if you want to be a torque about it. And you guys pick up the sides, and Spud's like, I could bring you right back to Cetalise if that's where we're going. Should be not a problem at all.
I think that would be wise.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so you guys start heading back into Cetalise. Again, travel for another 20 minutes or so, and it's a bit tiresome with the dwarven man. Although he's short, he's rather stout. He's pretty built, lots of muscle mass, and it's heavy, but you make it to the entrance to Cetalise. As you guys approach the lift, Spud motions to the Eladrin elves that are hiding off in the distance, and they call up to the people at the top, and you see the lift slowly fall down to the ground, and you stand on it, and it begins to rise again with your dwarven captor on the quarterstaffs. And you come up through the clearing of the fog into Cetalise, and you make your way back to the Bloated Ox. When you get there, Thrail is overjoyed with equal parts worry and joy. And she looks at her dwarven partner, and he's super unresponsive. But within a few seconds, he begins to thrash around immediately, and Thrail kind of freaks out, and she starts to hold him down, and she starts screaming for Aldous the Magnificent. At that point, Drac jumps over the bar with purpose and runs out the entrance. What do you guys do? Do you help her?
Yeah, help secure
him. Yeah, I'll help. Hold him down.
Okay, so you guys are all holding him down, and moments pass, and she's crying. She's crying uncontrollably, like watching her partner thrash around like this. Moments pass, and you hear the running footsteps of Drac as he returns with Aldous, and he gasps at the sight of the druid. Aldous comes in, and he's like, "Hello! What seems to be the problem here?" And, he looks down and he's like, oh my, brother, look at this. And he kind of puts his fingers to his chin and strokes his chin. And he's like, I think I've got just the thing. And he begins to move his hands methodically, creating a magic glyph in the air. And he waves his hands over the top of the druid, and this like white light starts to like float down towards the druid as he casts Calm Emotions on the druid. And he's like, "Calm down, you ninny-packing scullybrag!" He says that with confidence. At which point, the druid slowly starts to... his eyes start to clear, and the corruption seems to dissipate and die off, and he slowly regains consciousness and is ravaged by love from Thrail as they both cry into each other's arms. With that, Aldous looks at all three of you, and he's like, "A little bit of magic, and he's good as new." And I want Nevlin, Cornelius, and Dario to roll me an intelligence check, please.
12 for Cornelius.
I got a 13.
22 for Nevlin.
Yeah.
Cornelius, Dario, and Nevlin, you all look at Aldous the Magnificent, and each one of you realizes that this spell that he's just cast essentially cured the corruption.
Well, this is great. This is great news. Calm Emotions, you said there, Aldous.
I mean, I didn't say that, per se, but yes, Calm Emotions was the spell that I did cast. I believe my exact words were, "Calm down, you ninny-pecking scullybrag."
Nevlin, does this sound right?
A potent incantation, indeed. Listen, how could I possibly forget your name? Hey, Aldous, I don't suppose, that's something you could teach me.
I suppose that I could pass on the gift of magic. Brother, what do you think? Do you think this man worthy? He looks off into the distance, seemingly to no one, as he says, as he addresses his brother. And he's like, yes, I suppose we could teach you this. Of course, for a price.
Yeah, well, what's your price?
I believe we could come to some sort of agreement.
We have started off at 500 gold. My services are sought after far and wide.
Nevlin pulls out his coin purse and he dumps 7 gold pieces into his hand. And he kind of shuffles them around. And he's like, I suppose I might have to get back to you on that one. And he packs it all back up.
I'll tell you what, Aldous, we're going to need that spell. So 195, and let's make a deal.
With that, Thrale hears this, and she looks at you all, and she's like, oh, I've got just the thing! And she runs out, and she is gone for maybe 10 seconds. You all stand looking puzzled, and she comes back and drops a bag of 300 gold coins into one of your hands anyway.
Like, Nevlin, you take this one, huh? There we go. Now you have some bargaining power.
She looks at you, Dario, as she drops it into your hands, and she says,
be this my life savings, it's worth the shiny for Darthin. Thank you.
And, you give what offer to Aldous?
I'll be like, I would like to hand this to Nevlin on our behalf, and of course, 500 is so steep. Maybe we should do 300. What do you
say? So how much do you have?
300.
I got a really nice quarter staff. It's very valuable.
300 is the most you're gonna get.
Mm. Yeah, I got 307 I can make good on.
And a quarter staff.
Okay, roll a persuasion check there, Nevlin.
As Nevlin is offering his 307 gold, he does a little flourish of his glamour weave robe, and
right.
As it flourishes, you see these small little sort of stars and moons that are printed on it kind of pop out, and the planets slowly rotate in these sort of galactic forms for a moment, and it's gonna add a d4 to his persuasion roll.
Fuck yeah.
A fancy wizard.
Good skirt.
Yeah, and you got a nat 1.
Oh, no.
Awful.
Plus whatever his d4 would have been, but I think the nat 1 probably cancels that out.
He's like, he looks at you, Nevlin, and he's like,
300 doesn't really cut it.
And Gord, you had said what to him?
I said 307 is the most you're going to get.
Roll me an intimidation check, please.
That's a 21.
Nice. Yeah, he looks at you, Nevlin, and says that that's not going to cut it. And then he looks back over to you, Gord, and he's like, but I suppose that we could make an exception.
Yeah, Gord cracks his knuckles a little bit, does the whole, stretches his chest out, you know, just puffs up just a slight bit.
All this kind of shudders, and he takes the 307 gold. And he says, so follow me there, young wizard, and I shall write the spell into your books.
Yeah, very, very generous of you.
So yeah, then you head with him over to Aldous the Magnificent's Emporium and other magical fucking delights, I think it was, or something.
Yeah.
Word for word, yes.
The rest of you, do you travel back to the guest house?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So, Nevlin,
need a nap.
Yep, it's coming. Nevlin, you go with Aldous, and he writes the spell Calm Emotions into your spell book. That you now know Calm Emotions, the second level enchantment spell.
Nice.
With that, you may also retire back to the guest house, where you all may take a long rest. So we'll say you guys like hang out for a bit, wait until a reasonable time. Vestibule doesn't come, and with that, you guys rest until the next morning. And with that, you guys are fully rested.
Yay!
In the morning, you awake to again a bustling Senilis. You smell the breakfast in the air, you know, birds chirping as well as people. And Vestibule arrives at the guest quarters and comes in and he says,
good morning. I do thank you for helping the townsfolk. I heard that you saved Darthin's life, and that means a lot to me personally. He's a good man. The Queen has requested your presence in the Court of Stars.
Of course. Let's go.
Okay, follow me, please.
As you enter the chamber of the Court of Stars, the Queen stands over her throne with a white raven on her shoulder reading a carrier message. She reads the message for a second time before looking up at you with a look of accomplishment on her face. With purpose in her tone, she says,
I have words from my scouts in the south, and my scouts have also returned from the north. To the north, the scouts have reported a stone crashing through the mountains in the Feydark, which is already undoubtedly in the hands of the Fomorians, which is concerning. However, the scouts of the south have sent word that one had crashed somewhere into the Isle of Dread, and another into the Mercandrar to the south.
Okay, so what do you advise in this instance? Do we go to the Fomorians, or should we go off to...
Well, retrieving the stone from the Fomorians first is ideal, but we shall need time to uncover the old passageways to the Feydark in Mithendrane and Zendrian, which were sealed after the Great War. Our best bet at this point would be to secure the stone in the Mercandrar, lest the hags learn word of it.
Hags?
Yes, there are several hags in the Mercandrar. Four of note, to be exact. Among them, a young Baba Yaga.
Baba Yaga?
Yes.
Was she nice?
Not quite.
Oh. There's nothing that'll scare me.
I beg to differ, my good man.
Tell us more. Who is this Baba Yaga?
Yeah, why is she so not nice?
She is a member, so to speak, of the Court of Stars. She's very cunning and very, very powerful, very dangerous.
Okay, and she is the most powerful hag, I suppose?
Yes.
And okay. She's like extra swampy?
She's very, very swampy.
I imagine we should just stay away from them rather than confront them.
If you could secure the stone without confronting the hags, yes, that would be ideal. There is a settlement in the western area of the bog called Lo Aran. There you may reconvene with my scouts. What say ye, adventurers? Apologies, I've always wanted to say that.
Oh, we say aye. Right?
Aye.
Aye.
I'll just say, I'm in. Wait, Mushroom Boy's not going, is he?
Then I shall, yes, of course.
No. Well, I don't... Ah, man.
Come on, he's a fun guy.
Damon there was a very useful combatant.
As I thought he would be.
I don't know, he didn't really do a whole lot.
He defeated a giant bear barely,
anyway, I guess we'll
himself.
Go. It doesn't really matter. Who did what? Sounds like we're all in, lady, so here we go.
Then I shall send you my warmest of wishes. I will send word of my scouts to let them know to expect you.
And as you guys turn to leave, a tear-filled Spud runs to the Queen as she lowers herself to receive his embrace. And with tears in her eyes, she says,
My dear Damon, how you've grown. I will send the luck of the gods with you to aid you in your travels, and my love in tow to keep you warm while you sleep. Do be careful, and stay away from the brambleberries. You know how they tie knots in your stomach.
And just as Spud runs to you guys, he's like wiping tears from his eyes. He looks up and he's like, I don't normally cry like this. And as they go, she takes another look up and down at you, Cornelius, and she's like,
You're looking well. Travel safe, my dear Herengon.
And she boops you on the nose.
Look, my little tail goes up and down.
Yeah. So Vestibule kind of looks at you guys, and Tiandra is watching as you guys turn around to leave. And Vestibule's like,
well, with me then.
And he escorts you guys out of the chamber, and he walks with you guys towards the lift. And as you approach the lift, a small girl and boy holding hands run up to you, their father watching and smiling from a distance. They look at each other and then back to their father, who smiles again and nods. As they look back to you, they smile, and the little boy says,
Hello, I'm Johnson, and this is Julia. Daddy says you saved him, and we wanted to give these real good berries to say thank you. We picked them ourselves, or we had Aldous the Magnificent help us. Hopefully they helps. Anyway, bye!
And as the children run back to their father's embrace, he smiles one last time and they wave as he steps over the lift. Do you know who those children were?
Really obnoxious little dwarves.
I look to the father, who is, I'm guessing, Darthin.
No, the father is not. The father, you guys helped in Evernight, and he was the...
I just gotta find my kids, man! I'm just out here trying to find my... I'm gonna go find some kids!
We gave him directions?
Yeah, and he's running off, and he's like, Julia! Julia! Johnson! And you were like, yeah. Julia. So that was Julia and Johnson.
I'll look to the father, and I'll take the berries in my hand, and you see a slight tear well up in Gord before he puts the berries in his sack. He says, you make sure that Dad knows how much he cares for you and how much you care for him.
Nevlin looks at the father and gives that Zach Galifianakis nod.
Nice. Dario rolls his eyes and he's like, this is so sad.
Tork just screams out at him, your kids are really obnoxious, but thanks for the berries!
Well, with a pouch of 8 good berries in hand, Gord, you guys stand ready to descend, and Sir Randrick Vestibule smiles and says,
it is with much gratitude that I see you off. You've been a saving grace to the city, nay, the wild itself. I will also send word to the mighty Oran of your travels down south. He would be very keen to meet you when the time comes, I suspect. Well, I've had my men gather a small package for you to take on your travels, as the Mercandraw can be extremely treacherous. Be wary of the quicksand and the lightning storms, let alone the fog. Many have entered the Mercandraw only to be lost to time.
And he then passes you off a small satchel containing 3 healing potions and 2 vials of oil of slipperiness.
Okay.
Some KY.
And
Gord's gonna interrupt and say, you know, we found out something there, Vestibule. Why don't you use calm emotions on any of the ones that you find poisoned? That'll help you out in the long run.
Calm emotions, you say? I'll let the queen know. Thank you.
And you see the Eladrin pull the lever and the ropes start to give way. And you feel the lift as it begins to lower. And Vestibule stands, salutes, and looks down to you as you are lowering the lift. And he says,
may the light of Oran blind the darkness you face. And that's where we're ending the session.
Woo! That was fucking deep.
Cool.
Yeah.
Righteous.
Yeah, most excellent.
Rock on.
Bang-a-rung.